You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg.
Say goodbye to a team that was very, very good. We say good morning to our dear friend, Rick DiPietro. Good morning, Rick. How are you?
Good morning, Dave. Good morning, CC. I'm doing all right. Disappointed. I'm disappointed, obviously. I mean, Islanders end up losing and their season is over, but I couldn't be prouder of the team in how they fought, how they battled back, how resilient they were. I mean, this was a team that you could clearly see it last night, right? I mean, they're a great team, but as far as the skill level compared to what Tampa has to offer, it's
night and day.
It's not the same.
It's night and day. And here's the thing. Look, the Rangers fan in me is like, this is great. Just the legitimate sports fan in me, you have nothing to be upset about, really. You're upset because it's over. You're upset because you didn't wind up hoisting the cup. But what a performance, really. I mean, that's a team that goes Game 6 Eastern Conference Finals and for the most part goes toe-to-toe with, I think, the best team in the NHL. And you're right. You watched six games of this series. Tampa's better. I mean, just talent-wise, they're just, from top to bottom, they're a better team. But if you're an Islanders fan today, I think you hold your head pretty high because I think that was a heck of a performance.
You have to. And, of course, you're going to be, I mean, again, I said it, you're disappointed. We're all disappointed. And you had opportunities. That felt like one of those games last night. I'm sure you felt the same way watching it with how well Varlamov was playing, that felt like a game that the Islanders were going to find a way to pull out, like they were going to be able to steal that game, and they had the opportunities. I mean, you have from the blue line in overtime, you kill a power play again to start overtime. You actually had a chance to win the game on the penalty kill. Nelson, uncontested breakaway from the blue line in, and Vasilevskiy makes a great save. And then what actually aggravated me the most was how bad that power play was in overtime. The Islanders' power play in overtime was awful. It really was. So they had their opportunities. And, you know, unfortunately, you know, Tampa makes a nice play there. Cirelli, who came back after it looked like a serious knee injury, gets open in front. Not a great play by Toews. And then Barzal got lazy, and then they end it. But, I mean, there's a lot to be excited about moving forward with the Islanders.
Rico, I know you say you're disappointed, but didn't you expect Tampa would beat the Islanders and advance to the Stanley Cup Finals? Like, I remember you talking about how good Tampa was all year long and how they got bounced last year and they were going to use that as kind of fuel to push them to get to where they wanted to be. I mean, you expected this to be the spot where the Islanders' magical run ended, didn't you?
Well, before the season started, I picked Tampa to be in the Stanley Cup Finals. So, I mean, I expected them to bounce back from what happened last year. I just think what I really like – what I like about this Islanders team is you're seeing the natural progression. I mean – now you won three series, and you got all the way to the Eastern Conference Finals. So I'm sure Lou will look to add a piece to that Barzal line because you see the difference. I mean, with point in the lineup, Pilat, Kucherov, I mean, and then you put Hedman's on the ice with them. I mean, they have the puck in the offensive zone the entire time. Like, there were some clear deficiencies that Lou will address. You'll have Sorokin. I mean, as good as Varlamov played, I mean, if anyone's seen, you know, highlights of Sorokin in the KHL, like, he's the kid's legit. So, you know, they'll add maybe a piece this offseason. It's going to be a short offseason. And then, I mean, if you're an Islanders fan, you got to be happy.
Excited for the future.
You have to be. You have to be.
I mean, you're in great hands, right? You have a great GM. You have a great coach. You have young talent. You got a star goalie coming in. You could have a new arena. Like, what honestly, and I don't like the team, but what is there not to be excited about with the future of this club?
Nothing, in all honesty. I mean, then you lost Cizikas and you lost Pelech. So, I mean, you weren't at full strength, but I mean, what this team was able to accomplish this season, especially under the circumstances, you know, being away from their families for 2 months and everything else, the way they fought. I mean, the best word to describe how I feel right now is I'm proud. I'm proud of those guys.
And you should be. And you should be. All right. So Chris, let's turn to you. I mean, my God, I don't know what to say about the Yankees at this point. Every day it's like we hit five home runs, we'll hit six home runs, we'll hit seven home runs. I mean, they are slugging the ball. And how quickly the tide turns. A week ago, we're like, they have to beat Baltimore, otherwise they could be in real trouble to not get into the postseason. And now you know they're going to get in, and the question is, where are they going to wind up? And I'll ask you this. In your mind right now we're still a week, a little bit more than that to play in the regular season, are they the favorites in the American League right now?
I don't want to go as far as saying we're the favorites in the American League, but I am optimistic about where we could end up. I mean, we're a game back behind Minnesota to be able to host a first-round playoff series. So that's exciting. The fact that we've got a 2.5-game lead over the Blue Jays for second place in the AL East, I think that's where we wanted to be. And listen, I said it yesterday, I'll say it again today. What a difference a week makes, man. You sweep Baltimore on the strength of good starting pitching, and then the bats came alive in this series against Toronto. Man, this is the first time in baseball history where you have a team hit six or more home runs in three straight games. I mean, the Yankees set a record for home runs in a series with 19. I mean, offensively, you're seeing everything you want to see. I mean, Giancarlo Stanton looked like he's got his timing back, even though he did strike out with bases loaded in the seventh. I mean, he looked good last night. And then, I mean, for goodness sakes, I mean, he had a multi-hit game. That was the first time he had a four-hit game since July 23rd of 2018. So that's Stanton. Sanchez has his first multi-hit game of the season. So, I mean, it's just – you're starting to see signs that this team is kind of turning the corner, and then you get another solid outing from Masahiro Tanaka. He gives you 7 innings of 3-run ball, and I think that's the best you can ask for from him. So, you know, you just want to be playing good baseball by the time the postseason rolls around, and I think the timing couldn't be more perfect for the Yankees.
You're talking about an 8-game winning streak where they've outscored their opponents 71-20.
They're plus 51 in an 8-game streak. That's insane. I mean, really, that's insane.
No, it's crazy.
They're scoring at will right now. Sports is so crazy, Rick, because last week, remember, they couldn't score a run. And now a week later, they're outscoring the opposition by 50 runs in an 8-game streak.
Yeah, but that's why, Dave, that's why the cliche, like, you know, defense, always rely on because defense shows up. Like, defense doesn't go into, like, you can control defense because it's a lot of it is effort. Like, that won't go, like, offense will go into slumps. And the Yankees weren't whole. They were dealing with injuries. They were slumping. And now all of a sudden, I mean, not just the offense, too. I mean, you're talking about the starting pitching staff's been great, too. Like, it's all like it's right now at this moment, as we close in on the end of the season, things are starting to line up really well for the Yankees.
Yeah, so if I gave you money and said you got to bet it on one of these teams in the American League, where would you put your money on right now?
You'd have to put it on. I mean, I would have to say the Yankees.
Yeah, so would I.
I mean, as great as the White Sox have been, I still don't necessarily in the playoffs not having seen
I feel
seen
like Tampa's going to be a tough out in the playoffs.
I agree. Tampa's going to be a tough out because
I'm not saying I would bet all my money on Tampa, but Tampa's going to be a tough out in the playoffs.
I don't disagree with you, but I would still if I'm asked to put money on a team,
yeah,
I would.
I think you're both right. I think Tampa's going to be a tremendously tough out in the playoffs, and I think I'd put my money on the Yankees.
Yeah, I mean, and again, I mean, would I like to avoid Tampa in Tampa in a 3-game? Yeah,
I like the starting pitching from Tampa a little bit better.
Cole's been great. Here's what I will say, though. And you're right. I mean, you look at especially with how creative they are with their bullpen and everything else. Offensively, they do leave something to be desired, especially the way the Yankees are hitting baseball right now. But again, great pitching can shut down great hitting.
Yep.
But when you look at how good Cole has been, and I give Kay credit because Kay actually went back and looked at how Cole was last year early on in the season, and they kind of matched up. With you know when he starts to get you know things figured out and he gets going, so he's I mean if it's Higashioka whatever it is, like he's back to being Gerrit Cole. We've already seen Tanaka and what he's capable of doing in the playoffs.
Right, you trust him.
I love what I see from Davey Garcia, and then you got Jordan Montgomery, and you still got one of the better bullpens in baseball. And if you're gonna hit the baseball the way you're hitting the baseball right now, I mean, you may not have to worry about it.
Yeah, it becomes daunting. Well,
that's without Judge, too. I mean, what you did yesterday, too, was without Judge.
Right.
And the fact that Stanton got going and he starts to get his confidence, I mean, that's...
That's a good sign.
It's a great
sign. That's a really good sign.
But you see, I mean, this is the team that was 16-6 to start the season.
Yeah, they're back to that team.
They're just rolling. Yeah.
They're back to that team. They had a great start. They had a horrendous middle, and they're having a great ending. And that... Listen, if I told you got to have one bad piece of your season, you take a bad middle, right? You'd like to get off to a good start because it gives you a little bit of leeway, and you want to finish strong so that you're in the right direction come playoffs. Like, and that's like what they've done.
It's like a trip to Orchids of Asia.
I don't know
stop.
What I don't know what that
stop.
Means.
Stop. Stop.
You know exactly.
Stop.
You know exactly what that means.
Your mind is.
Have you seen his tentacles?
What that means? Crazy talk. 800-919-3776. Before we get to the NFL.
Oh my gosh.
Boy, it was Joe Burrow special last night.
Dude, do we have to talk about that? I don't want to hear. You're talking about the worst team in football. The Bengals had the first overall pick because they were the worst team in football. And they have better offensive weapons than the New York Jets. And
it's not even close. It's not close.
But not even that, Rico. Forget about the weapons. Just the way that Joe Burrow looks in comparison to what Sam Darnold looks like. I mean, Joe Burrow is a cool customer, but, I mean, he looks like he's in control and he has command of that offense.
Well, you guys are going out of order. We were going to talk about the Mets. The Mets, they kept their hopes alive. They win last night on the verge of completely being done.
Yeah, you but don't talk? No, because this is what me and Canty are trying to avoid this, because you embarrassed yourself yesterday. The Mets are done. I don't care
that they came back and won. The Mets are done. Come on, you know they're not going to go to the postseason.
I don't know that yet.
I think you jumped the gun a little bit on that.
This bullpen's locked down right now, Dave. Locked down. They make it interesting. No, they make it interesting. But that bullpen for the last two games has been great.
It's what I need to do to be able to survive. I need to think that they have no chance. And that's my mindset. And if they surprise me, then I'm okay.
The Mets.
I can't go into this and say that they have a real chance. I can't do it. I won't do it to myself.
They're a game and a half back.
I'm not doing it.
There's a real chance.
Not really.
Not really. Okay. All right.
What do you put their chances at? 18%? 15%?
They have a chance, Dave.
They have a chance.
Like going into the last week of the regular season, you have a chance.
Here's the only thing.
Isn't that what you want?
Well, I mean, I would like to be comfortably in a playoff.
Yeah, I mean, they should. More than half the league is making the playoffs,
well,
and they
the
have
Mets
a chance to get in.
It's never going
to
be comfortable. It's never going to be that simple. But you got a shot.
Yeah, but this is like prostate exam uncomfortable. Like, I wouldn't have
all the he's in the whole fist there, Doc.
Hey, but seriously though,
I'm uncomfortable with the way that this show just turned.
Here's the only thing I will say that I am concerned about is Jacob DeGrom's hamstring.
Yep.
Because you're going to need him, and then Seth Lugo
has to.
Schedule
is tough.
Seth Lugo has to be better. I mean, he went an inning in two thirds last night. To say he got roughed up is an understatement.
He didn't get you a shot, and your offense still found a way to overcome it.
He's just lucky the Phillies bullpen's terrible. I mean, they're brutal.
It makes the Mets bullpen look like the Yankees bullpen. That's how bad the Phillies are. How great is Dom Smith's season? Dom Smith is legitimately an MVP candidate. He has been he should get MVP votes. He has been sensational this year.
No, he's been great. I mean, Conforto's been great. I mean, McNeil's figured it out. You're having guys having good seasons. I mean, Jimenez has been a revelation, and you're still right now. That's what frustrates Mets fans, is that you should have enough talent to be better than you are. You're supposed to get, like, the whole adage is, you know, let's find a way to get more out of less. Not less. They find ways to get less out of more.
Yeah.
More than any team I've ever seen. Any team. You got the best pitcher in baseball. You had the rookie of the year. You had a guy looking for, I mean, beating down the door for a batting title. Like you just mentioned, Dom Smith.
You got two guys that legitimately could win MVP on this team. Really. Conforto and Dom Smith have real chances to win MVP. And right now you're on the outside looking in. So your ace has been sensational. You have two guys that are really on the verge of MVP consideration. And you're right now on the outside looking in of the postseason. That's not easy to do.
And this may be as good as Edwin Diaz is as a Met.
He's been good.
Month.
He's been good lately.
He's been great. I mean, he's been really good lately. I mean, I don't need all the agita though with him.
Oh my God, he makes nothing easy, huh?
Well, nothing. I mean, those last two innings. I mean, then Justin Wilson's got me a nervous wreck. I'm dealing with that. I got the football going on. Yesterday was like sensory overload.
Oh, it's so good though. How good is it?
I was a nervous wreck. I'm trying to figure out who I'm picking today. Like this is. I got a month old baby.
That's the easy part of your life now.
Yeah,
you
right.
got basketball, you got golf, you got football, you got hockey, you got elimination hockey. I mean, you got baseball, you got it all going on. This is a great time to be a sportsman.
My head was spinning.
I felt like
the Boston Celtics in the third quarter last, just spinning. No idea what to do.
All right, now you're ready to wax poetic about Joe Burrow. I mean, how good is he? Two games in. No training camp, a team that stinks, an offensive line which is awful. The right tackle is a guy who couldn't even make the Giants offensive line in Bobby Hart, and he's still going out there and looking like that. He's going to be a star in this league.
Isn't that
Joey B is the goods, man. He's the real deal. Like I was saying that a minute ago. I mean, the kid has poise beyond his years, and the fact that he can go out there, drop back 61 times, and have three touchdowns and no interceptions, I mean, that's impressive. I mean, the guy was under the rest because you mentioned that Cincinnati Bengals offensive line is not the best. But the fact that the kid still finds a way to be able to make plays, I mean, that's what you're looking for. Like that fourth down conversion that he had, that throw to Tyler Boyd off the pick route from A.J. Green, like the accuracy on that ball in order to give his guy a chance to keep it away from the defender. Like those are the small things that make a big difference in terms of a quarterback's overall success. And when you watch him play versus how Sam Darnold played up in Buffalo, it's night and day in terms of the overall feel that you get and the comfort that the kid has with the system that he's running.
Yeah, they haven't beaten the confidence out of him yet. Like, I mean, the level of poise last night, over the first two games. I mean, no OTAs, no preseason.
Nothing.
I mean, nothing. But isn't that case in point? And their offensive line stinks.
It stinks.
But isn't that case in point to anyone who wants to make the argument, well, the Jets' offensive line is going to be better, and, you know, Sam should be able to make the weapons he has better. No, that was case in point. Offensive line stinks, but because they actually have good wide receivers and a good running, good wide receivers, a good tight ends, unfortunately, looks like we have,
Zoma after Zuma, the year probably.
Yeah, he blew his Achilles out. And you have a good running back. So it allows your young quarterback to actually make plays under duress, which he's...
But I will say this, the turning point in that game was the sack fumble by Myles Garrett. Because after Cincinnati has that goal line stance, it felt like the momentum had turned to the Bengals. And if Joe Burrow is able to put together their drive right there and score some points, I think the complexion of that game is different. So, I mean, the offensive line absolutely does matter. But, I mean, it doesn't give you the right to dismiss the performance or the production of the quarterback. Because, I mean, Joe Burrow still went out there and produced. He threw for over 300 yards.
Oh, yeah. Great.
Like, you can tell, like, they got something in him in Cincinnati. He's their franchise quarterback. I mean, you know, Sam has shown it in moments. I mean, we saw it last year in that Dallas game, but, I mean, they're so few and far in between, and it's frustrating because you don't know exactly what to point to or who the culprit is. I guess you just have to look at the organization as a whole in terms of why we don't have a definitive answer on whether or not Sam's your guy.
It would frustrate me to no end if I was a Jets fan, Rick, and I watched this kid with no OTAs, no training camp, first game of the season, short week. Right, we talked about that all the time. Second game of the season, look like that, and I'm year three of Sam Darnold, and I've seen, not a lot. Moments where I'm like, oh, he's going to be good, and a lot of moments where it doesn't come through. And I watch this kid, his second start, look like that, and lead his team down in his first start for a potential game-winning touchdown. It would frustrate me. It really would if I was a Jets fan.
Oh, of course it frustrates you. I mean, watching both of those teams. I mean, watching what Kevin Stefanski did with Baker Mayfield yesterday, playing to his strengths, rolling him out, you know, realizing what he's good at and taking advantage of it. Yeah, it frustrates me. And what Chris said, I mean, I wasn't watching that game thinking that the Bengals were going to win it. In the fact that they, you know, did gain the momentum, he fumbles and, you know, it changes. That didn't take away from the fact that I think Joe Burrow, I mean, how good I thought Joe Burrow played in that game.
Rick, I know you say you weren't watching it thinking that the Bengals were going to win it, but it was a fourth quarter game.
But you're making my point.
No, I'm with you. I'm getting your point. Like, the Cincinnati Bengals made it a fourth quarter game. They were competitive in both of the games they played this regular season with a rookie quarterback who had no OTAs and no preseason games. If he can look confident under those circumstances and the team can be competitive, knowing that Cincinnati, from a talent standpoint, leaves a little bit to be desired, then why aren't the Jets further along in their program with Sam Darnold in year three?
Exactly right.
No, I'm picking up what you're putting down, brother. You're absolutely right, which is why Jets fans should be infuriated with what Chris Johnson has done with this team.
I would be interested, too, to go back. I started to do it this morning. I started to get so aggravated. I can't do it. I would be interested to go back and look at that Maccagnan draft, in like the entire draft, and where players in different positions went, and see, you know, what Joe Douglas could have done if he had the ability to go through that entire draft, and how much that would have helped.
Talking about last year's, not this one, but the year before?
The year before, where they let McCagnan go through the entire draft.
They fired McCagnan right after.
Yeah, have you seen? I mean, look at that draft outside of Quinnen Williams. It was, you might as well not even had a draft.
Well, you say Quinnen Williams. I mean, he, at the third pick, he leaves a lot to be desired right now, too.
Yeah, but the jury's still out on him. I mean, just
right.
In general. I mean, you find guys that can contribute in, you know, second, third, fourth rounds. And we got McCagnan making picks. Like, I mean, the guy's not even in the NFL that he picked in the third round. You know what I mean? Like, oh, you say, I'm gonna, you know, take some risky picks and see if they, you know, boom or bust pick. Why are we taking, like, what are we doing here? And then you fire him. I don't get it. There's no excuse. There is no excuse to be the second year into Adam Gase's program and have the Jets look like they looked in week one and have Joe Burrow, new system, no nothing. Like no preparation for
like
a normal
that.
Rookie season and look like
that.
On the road in Cleveland in a must-win
short
game
week.
For Cleveland.
On a short week.
On a short week. There's
awful.
No excuse for it.
No, you're right. You're right. 800-919-3776. Now, let me see if I have this correct. We're going to do a frenzy at 9:30, correct?
Correct.
And then we got R.J. Bell at 10, Feinbaum, 10:30.
I was actually thinking, too, and this is not me just being, like, looking out for my – this is not me being selfish, because you know how much anxiety I get with the picks.
Oh, yeah.
I'm actually thinking about our listeners. Like, it's fun, you know, us going against each other. Chris had to, you know – if you want to call that swimming with sharks, it would look
he
more
swam
like
with sharks.
It was swimming with sharks.
He paid off his
what do
debt.
You mean?
It was too enjoyable. You know, it was too enjoyable. That was like he was
but
with
that
Jacques
wasn't
Cousteau
his fault.
Exploring the
we
ocean.
Didn't realize they would be like playful sharks.
They were docile. They were all drugged up.
They weren't playful sharks. The sharks just had never seen anything like me.
Now,
6'8", 340 pounds. What is this doing down here? What is
keep
this?
To your side, Stephen. Keep to your side.
Come on, man.
So here's what I was thinking.
Here's the thing, Dave. The anxiety was worse than the actual
Chris,
event.
I don't look down on you for doing it. Not even a little bit. I have tremendous respect. I would have been terrified. I take my hat off to you. He's the one giving
me
a hard time.
Yes.
I'm just saying the payoff. I wanted to see more. Like I wanted frenzied sharks.
It's not Chris's fault though.
I get that. It's not. I'm not blaming Chris. I'm blaming the aquarium. Is what I'm doing.
Okay.
And then we haven't had your payoff yet. What I'm saying is, maybe we change what we do because we got RJ on and he's doing his competition. Not a competition. It's you know Chris has his three picks and then RJ they come up with their best pick. Maybe what we do is as a show. We come up with like our three best bets to try to help people that listen to the show make money as opposed to all making different picks.
No, I don't like that.
I like it.
You don't think the listeners like that?
I like
that
it.
More?
I'm all about
like trying
to
make
people
the money.
Make money.
I understand.
I'm all about
they
trying
can take
to help
our selections
make money.
And try to make money.
Yeah, but they're all over the place, our selections. We don't pick the same games. So now they're all confused. Well, I mean, who do I like? I mean, Dave likes this game. Chris likes this game. Rick likes this game. There's too much confusion.
So our better is now done?
No, it doesn't. It's a suggestion. I'm putting it in the suggestion box.
All right.
Maybe people would like that better. You know what I'm saying? Like,
I understand what you're saying.
Could you imagine if we start going on a run, we're hitting two out of every three, and people are just making handfuls of cash?
Well, wouldn't you'd have to start gambling your face off if that was the case?
Well,
I'd have to unretire.
You know, I would make bets for you. We'd have Chris make bets. He's in Jersey. He'd have to make Chris make
That's
bets
right.
for us.
Yeah, I don't have a problem doing that at all. I'll facilitate you guys' greatness.
See, and I appreciate that. I'm just
I like the
there.
Idea of trying to make our listeners some money, though. I'm with Rick on that one. I think that's something we should do. RJ and I'll come up with our best bet of the week, and then as a show, we come up with our best bet of the week. That's two games that our listeners can check out, and if they have confidence in us and they can get in on the action and make some coin, I'm with it.
I don't feel like we're not utilizing RJ Bell to his fullest. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like we should be.
We got to put RJ to work.
Well, kind of. Yeah, it's what I mean. Let's be honest. It's what Coward does with. I mean, he does his Blazing Five. That's all. Those are sent to RJ Bell, and he approves them. Like that. That's. I mean, we got to use RJ Bell, man. He's one of the best. He went. What did he go? 4 for 5 in week one.
4-1. Yeah.
Yeah. With no preseason.
Yeah, he's terrific.
The dude's legit.
Yep. He'll join us at 10:00. All right. Let's go to Ira, Staten Island. Ira, lead us off. I know you're in a great mood on a Friday on 98.7.
Hey. Good morning, fellas. How are you? And Dave, all the best. You and your family, a happy and a healthy new year.
Thank you very much.
Out there. You know, I tell you, every pass he completed last night, Burrow, I got a pain in my stomach. It was, like you said, no OTAs, no offseason, and he goes out there after 5 weeks of some type of camp and he performs like that. You know what? Cleansing of the new year, maybe I was wrong. You know, I was hoping Sam would elevate what's around him. But you know what? They
Ira, what's around him? What are you talking? Well, see, this is what frustrates me. What's around him?
Well, that let me. I was wrong. I thought that maybe they would just have enough where you know you'd be able to judge this guy. You can't. After what I saw with Burrow played last night and the pieces he had around him, no, you can't even compare the Bengals and the Jets right now. So I really, quite honestly, I have no idea how you could possibly analyze Sam's progression this year in the next step, because the offensive line, we'll see if it's going to be better. Hopefully it is. But everything around him, Perriman, you know, he is what he is. Mims, listen, it's not their fault he got hurt. But let's face it, you know, is a rookie really going to step in and perform right away? Probably not. And the running backs, you know, we knew what the situation was going to be. So I was more upset with the Bengal-Brown game last night than I was with the Jets' performance last Sunday, because it really opened my eyes at how they put Sam in a really bad position. And you know what? Right now, Burrow is light years ahead of Donald.
It's not close, Ira. Like, if I said to you, you could have Burrow, you could have Darnold right now, no one would even have to think about it. It's clear as day.
And if you remember, Dave, when the Giants drafted Daniel Jones, I tried to talk you off the ledge. I told you this kid has something, just from people who told me, not that I watched Duke football. I mean, his mechanics and everything about him, he's ahead of Donald right now, too. You know, hopefully it was just a bad game last week, but let's see what he does. Let's analyze him after four games, and we'll see where he's at. But Burrow's really impressed me last night. I got to give the Bengals credit.
Yep, good call. Thanks, and Happy New Year, Ira. We appreciate it. And it's frustrating, and he's right. I mean, to watch him last night do what he did, and to watch Sam Darnold do what he did, they feel like, Rick, that they're light years apart right now.
Yeah, I don't even think – I mean, where Sam is going into year three, I mean, to where, you know, Joe Burrow is 2 weeks into the season, I mean, it's scary. I mean, in all honesty, it's scary. That it shouldn't look the way it looked.
Yes. You're right.
It shouldn't.
I mean, there's no discussion, analysis. It's got to be frustrating to any NFL fan, especially a Jets fan.
It's time for a frenzy. A football frenzy.
You could say that 10,000 times and it still wouldn't be enough.
It fires me up, man.
I love it. Say it one more time.
A football frenzy. Any team, any player, any question.
And here we go. 800-919-3776 at Rothenberg ESPN on Twitter. Getting flooded with questions on Twitter. Good job, everyone. All right. You guys ready to roll?
Let's do it, Dave.
All right. Peter 64. Is Joe Burrow a top 10 quarterback in the league right now?
No.
No. No. That's aggressive. No.
Tell you what, if you were selecting quarterbacks, you'd take him in your top 10, though, of all quarterbacks in the league.
To start a team with?
Just right, if I said right now, yes. Age is a factor. You're taking 10 quarterbacks. He'd go in the top 10.
Yeah, you're probably right. 100%. With
age
involved?
If age is involved?
Yeah. If you're going to factor in age.
Sure. You take him over Aaron Rodgers, right?
I don't know about that.
No? Yeah, exactly. When you frame it that way, Dave, I can't say yes.
You would.
I don't know about that.
Would. Come on, he's 23. No, Rodgers, what, 36?
Played two games. He's played two games.
Okay, but the potential of that kid is out of this world.
Okay, potential.
Yeah.
But Aaron Rodgers still has he's got at least 4 or 5 years left. Can I win in 5 years?
It depends on if I'm the coach or the general manager. If I'm the coach, I'm probably taking Aaron Rodgers. If I'm the GM, I'm probably taking Joe Burrow.
Let's go to Chris in Jersey. Chris, you're first up on the frenzy. Have at it.
I liked how the Giants looked against a good defense last week. Do we get to 8 wins?
No. I mean, if the Giants get to 8 wins, Canty, Joe Judge has done an unbelievable job.
Yeah, Dave, I picked them to get to 8 wins. I mean, I had the Giants going 7-9, 8-8. Now, listen, I'm not saying that they have an easy schedule. I mean, Chicago is probably their easiest game in the first four. So, I mean, this is going to be a tough road for them if they were going to get to that point. But I think the Giants are going to be a lot more competitive than people think, man. I really do. The Giants as a 7-9, 8-18.
Be a great job by Judge. And this organization clearly would take a step in the right direction. Rob wants to know, do you believe that the Saints can win the Super Bowl, Rick?
Do I believe the Saints can win the Super Bowl? They got a good defense. The only concern would be I didn't love how the offense and Drew Brees looked in week one.
Yeah, but you know what? They're creative.
Yeah, they're creative. But I don't care how creative you are. If you have limitations at the quarterback position, especially as he wears down through the season, I mean, there was some benefit to him missing 5 games last year to being as fresh as he was, and they didn't get to the Super Bowl. So
yeah, let's see how creative they are without Michael Thomas.
Yeah. Get creative, baby.
He might play.
I just saw this morning there's a very slim chance that he plays. I believe the quote was a glimmer of hope that he plays against the Raiders.
I'll take some hope.
All right. Uncle AQ. This is an interesting topic. And if you guys remember, we actually had this conversation during our days of looking for things to talk about, early stages pandemic. Should the Giants trade Saquon Barkley if they can get fair value in return?
I don't think they will.
Should they?
Should they? I don't know. I would like to see what happens as we get further along in the season. When
no, they shouldn't trade Saquon Barkley.
He's a foundational piece, man.
Yeah, the offense is the identity of the team, and you're trying to develop a young quarterback. I'm not going to take a playmaker away from him and turn Daniel Jones into Sam Darnold. I'm not going to do that.
And plus, Saquon Barkley's paying the price now for you guys trading Odell in the first place. He'd have a whole hell of a lot easier time running the football if Odell was still his wide receiver.
You're absolutely right about that. How good did he look last night, by the way?
He looked terrific.
He can finally run.
I mean, he should have had two touchdowns. That was a holding call.
How did they not call? I don't understand. How did they miss that? I mean, it was the referee was right there, and it was plain as day. How do they miss him tugging on the back of his jersey?
Maybe at the angle that the ref was at, he couldn't
see it.
Must
be, right?
It has to be the angle of it. But, I mean, Odell looked phenomenal yesterday.
He did look
good.
That
double move was special.
He's a talented receiver. Pat Verona. Pat, you're on the frenzy.
Wondering if you think the Patriots are playing Cam Newton that style to eventually run him into the ground just to Mark Stidham out there and have him forget about Brady.
No. Bill Belichick's trying to win football games. You're talking about an offensive coordinator that when he was the head coach of the Denver Broncos drafted Tim Tebow. Like, this is an offense that you see where the NFL is going, right? I mean, now you have the opportunity after 20 years to have a mobile quarterback like Cam Newton. That's part of who Cam Newton is. There's no sense in trying to protect him at this point. You're not paying him any money and you're trying to win. So you're going to get the best out of him, which involves him running the football.
The Patriots ran the ball 42 times against the Dolphins. Yeah. 42 times.
That's what you're going to see. Heavy dose of again this weekend, I think, in Seattle. Fat Guy Strong wants to know, do you see the Jets moving the ball down the field with Gore this Sunday?
That's a serious question.
I don't see them moving the ball down the field, period.
Justin Ned says, "Do the Falcons beat the Cowboys this week? Tell you what, if there's a God in heaven, they do. How good would it be if this team started out?
You are the worst.
If the Falcons beat the Cowboys, the Cowboys will not be going to the playoffs.
Oh,
they won't be going to the playoffs.
That would be so good.
Yeah.
What are you trying to do?
They got Seattle in Seattle after this game this week.
What am I trying to do? I'm trying to will the Cowboys to not go to the postseason.
Are you trying to make Ray Santiago hate you? I mean,
no,
I don't
we
know
already
where we're at.
Have this give and take when it comes to the Cowboys and the Giants. He takes shots at Eli. I make fun of the Cowboys. We have a very happy understanding.
It sounds like a lot of giving from you and a lot of taking from Ray.
Oh, he gives it plenty. Plenty. Gary Gnu.
Who gives it more?
Wow.
Gary Gnu says, does Gase make it through the year?
No.
Canty's ready to fire. Canty's ready to get rid of him now.
You would, yeah. Chris. You can't stand Adam Gase.
Yeah, I think Adam Gase is gone. You're probably talking about week 12 after the bye. He's gone. How fitting would that be? After a game in Miami, getting fired.
just pack up and stay in Miami here. Let's go to John and Queens.
And even worse, Canty, the 11's probably closed, too, so you can't even go drink your, you know.
What's up, John? Go ahead. You're on the frenzy.
Hey, what's going on? Thanks for taking the call.
You know what? Let's let him slide because it is week. Santiago cut him off. I would have let him get
this
in.
This is your fault. But this is your fault.
How is it my fault?
Well, it's your fault because now Santiago's not going to, he's not going to even listen to what you say. You're dead to him now. For the rest of the show, the only guy in the studio, you've pissed off to the point where he's completely tuned
what
you
out. He knows my detest for the Cowboys. What does he want me to do? He knows how I feel. He feels the same way about the Giants.
Does not make it okay, sir.
Oh, stop being a baby. All right, Basket Brawl wants to know, do you think the Giants have a real chance to win this game on Sunday?
Yes, I do. And the primary reason is I don't trust Mitch Trubisky. I think Mitch Trubisky is turnover prone, and who we saw in the fourth quarter of that Lions game ain't who he really is. So, yeah, I think the Giants can go up to Soldier Field and pull the upset off.
Be great.
Because you got to imagine, Saquon Barkley's not going to have many games where he's held to what? 6 yards on 15 carries? That's not going to happen.
There better be only one of those, Chris.
That's what I'm saying. That's not going to happen. So if Saquon gets more involved in the offense and Daniel Jones repeats the performance that he had last week minus the bonehead plays, there's a very real chance that the Giants beat the Bears this weekend.
All right, Rick Sonic Jackson wants to know, if Adam Gase is fired after the season, the perfect coach for the Jets would be?
the perfect coach for the Jets would be Eric Bieniemy.
There you go. There you go.
I agree.
He's the guy.
Be perfect.
Yeah, he's the guy.
It would be perfect.
Well, I mean, I think a coach like that would get the best out of what Sam Darnold is good at. Like, Sam Darnold is an athletic kid that can move around in the pocket. Like, he's at his best when he's moving around in the pocket. Like, when he's moving, you know, when he's on the move, he's at his best. Like, just like what you saw from Baker last night. Like, Baker's better like that. I mean, you watch that first game. I mean, you got, they're on the left hash. This is early in the game. You wonder why your quarterback can't get into a rhythm. He's on the left hash, and they ask him to stand there and throw the ball all the way across the field to his right outside the numbers. Like, are those the throws you want your quarterback to make early in the game to get into a rhythm? No.
No.
Stupid.
No.
Then I got third and seven. I got third and nine. Give the kid a chance at least.
You put him
you
in
want hitches, you want
situation.
Slants, you want in-breaking routes to get your quarterback going. That's
Ken
what you
and
want.
Merrick, you're next up on the frenzy.
Hey, guys, how you doing? Say that the Raiders came out on top of the Khalil Mack trade or the Bears?
I think it's still to be decided.
Mm-hmm.
See, here's the thing. If the Bears had a quarterback, I would say the Bears. They don't have a quarterback. That's the biggest problem with the Bears. It's not the defensive side of the ball. Khalil Mack has held up his end of the bargain. I mean, that's a championship-caliber defense.
I think a lack of a quarterback shut their defense down last year for them.
Yes.
That absolutely did. Because look at how good that defense was 2 years ago.
If we got a guy that can't play.
That defense 2 years ago was you know, top three in football. And last year they just knew. You can't win with this guy.
I'm almost sensing that you two both like the Giants and the points.
I do.
Not only do I like the Giants and the points, I think the Giants are going to win this game outright.
Whoa.
Yeah, I do too. Yeah.
Yeah. I do.
Yeah. They're one of my games.
I actually thought they showed a lot on Monday night. I really did.
Yeah, that was a winnable game.
I mean, they were right there.
Yeah, they competed.
You were 2 minutes left in the third quarter. And you said the Giants have a real chance to win this game. It's a pretty good job against a really good team in Pittsburgh. Fast Frank wants to know, for $100,000, we'll all take this question, would you not watch football for the rest of the season?
No.
Is that tax-free?
Tax-free, cash.
No. I could.
I
Sunday's
football,
the only thing that gets me through the week.
I love football.
Yeah, I wouldn't even.
Love
I wouldn't even think about it.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, no. What else do I have at this point to get? I mean, what else is getting you through the week at this point?
I mean, you like the golf?
No, I like the golf, but I mean, I'm not. Golf starts, you know, on a Thursday. I'm not having this big pregame experience for golf with pizza and everything else. Like, I'm not
like
here.
A football Sunday, man. It really isn't anything like it.
They're holidays.
It's like it.
They are little mini weekly holidays. It is absolutely phenomenal.
Oh, man.
It is the best. All right, Santi, if you're still listening to me, you can blow this frenzy dead.
Dave, you want to hear the funniest thing, too?
Yeah.
So, I mean, your kids are older, so they'll actually sit and watch games with you. So I'm trying to, like, Milo's slowly getting to the point where he's, like, more and more interested. But he's got the attention span like a gnat. Like, he'll watch for a couple seconds. But his new thing now is, like, I'll be watching it. He'll watch it for a second, then leave, go do something to come back, and he'll be like, hey, so Dad, looks like the Mets are winning, huh? As if he's been watching the whole time.
That's great. So he just walks by, catches a glimpse, and then there's conversation for him to have with you.
Yeah, he'll see the score and notice that the Mets are winning. He'll go, oh, so Dad, huh? Mets are winning, huh?
Want
to talk about it?
Hey. Dad, the Mets bullpen blew another one. You want to talk about that?
That Edwin Diaz, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Nothing better.
They are funny. Really, you know what happened to me yesterday, by the way?
No, what happened?
I got stung by a bee.
Oh, no.
Oh, it hurt.
Where were you that you got stung by a bee?
Ben was in the cage hitting, and I was sitting there watching, and all of a sudden, I feel this sharp pain on my hand.
Oh.
Cursed in anger, swelled up, and then I had this moment of, I don't know if I'm allergic to bees. I've been stung since I'm a little kid.
Did you pee on it?
On the bee?
No, and you're supposed to pee on the sting?
Oh, I don't know about that. I went home and I iced it.
That's a jellyfish thing, I think.
I iced it, and then I put it in hot water. I didn't know if the stinger was in there. I had a complete meltdown. Complete meltdown. Well, because then it becomes psychological. I'm like, is my tongue getting bigger? Is my throat closing up? I got nervous.
Sherry probably wishes your tongue got bigger.
Yeah, I'm sure she does. I can't even talk about a bee sting without you going here, huh?
I just, it's a Friday, man. It's been a long week.
There's nowhere I can go. Nowhere. No. Chris, you know what? Nowhere is safe.
But you know that with Rick already, Dave.
I know. I didn't think a bee sting would lead to this.
But that's a you problem. That's your fault.
I told you. I got problems, man. I need to seek help.
You're nuts. All right, we'll get to Andy from Merrick in just a moment. Chris, you and I are both on the same page. I like the Giants to not only cover, but win this game outright. Let's get your analysis. Why? What about the Giants-Bears matchup do you favor with the Giants? Why do you think they win this game?
Well, here's the thing. I think the Giants can be stout against the run up front, especially runs in between the tackles. And if you listen to everything coming out of Chicago, Matt Nagy is intent on having Mitch Trubisky operate more under center so they can try to get that run game going, but also be able to slow down the pass rush. I think as far as the interior runs go, the Giants defense is going to be pretty stout. If you can create some wins on first and second down and force Chicago in third and longs, then that's where it's advantage Giants, because Chicago last week was 2 of 11 on third downs, and that's coming off of a season in 2019 where they were 18% on the money down. So that was the worst in the NFL. I think this Giants defense has the potential to put this Bears defense in a lot of third and long situations, and if that happens, I feel really good about the Giants' chances of being able to pull off the upset.
And you got to figure, Rick, that Barkley's, I mean, just by walking out onto the field, is going to have a better game on Sunday than he did on Monday night.
Yeah, you would have to. I mean, you would imagine, right? I mean, Pittsburgh's D did an unbelievable job of shutting him down. I mean, and that was clearly, you heard after the game from Mike Tomlin, that was the game plan. Don't let Saquon Barkley beat us. He's the catalyst. And I thought Daniel Jones had a good game outside that bad decision. And then over in the goal line, which, I mean, after 19 plays, you got to score points there. But, I mean, I'll be interested to see that the most is, you know, as Daniel Jones continues to progress, and, you know, you get Golden Tate back, and then, you know, Slayton continues to do what he does. You know, can defenses afford to pay that much attention to Saquon? Because, you know, Daniel Jones is able to make you pay in the passing game.
I'll tell you what, and he's a big part of this offense, Evan Engram's got
to
show up.
Has to
be. I mean, he was brutal on Monday night. He wasn't just non-existent. He was a detractor. He was actually bad in the game on Monday night.
Yeah, he's got to step up. I mean, he's got all the talent in the world. But, I can already tell with, you know, the friends of mine, including yourself, that are Giants fans, they're starting to get real frustrated with him.
Real frustrated. Well, because think about it. You look at him and you think he's so talented. Half the time, he's injured and doesn't play.
He's Gary Sanchez.
Yeah. A quarter of the time, he just plays poorly. And then you get those glimpses where you're like, oh, my God. Look how good he can be. Like that Tampa game where he makes that catch 15 yards across the middle and takes it to the house. Like, the potential is there. We just don't see it happen enough.
Yeah, but that's how he's going to contribute. Him, I mean, he's a glorified wide receiver.
He's a wide receiver.
He doesn't want to block, and he's not good at blocking. So if he's not catching passes and helping you out that way, he's not. Yep. I mean, what's the benefit?
He's a wide receiver. You're right. All right, let's go. Here's our guy. Friday, I imagine there are going to be football questions. Andy from Merrick. Good morning, Andy.
Good morning, DCR. It is, in fact, a football Friday. In fact, after last night's Battle of Ohio, I have four Bengals/Browns questions for you.
Okay.
Starting with this Monday, September 21st, will be the 50-year anniversary of the first ever Monday night game in which the Browns won 31-21
Jets.
Over which team?
Jets.
Wow. Float like a butterfly, sting like a bee, Dave. Nicely done.
That's one.
It's about right.
When the Cleveland Browns reappeared in 1999... which quarterback was their first ever draft pick?
I'm gonna let Rick answer this because he's making fun of me. Go ahead.
Oh, Canty was right.
Tim Couch.
Couch. Big man, come
That's
through.
Right.
Let's go to the Bengals. Which head coach has the most career wins for those Cincinnati Bengals?
Ooh. Is it Marvin Lewis?
It is Marvin Lewis.
There you go.
Three boys. Team effort hanging here. All right, bonus question. Who holds the Bengals record for the most career rushing yards with over 8,000?
Corey Dillon.
Bang!
I am the smartest man alive!
That was beautiful.
That was well done.
We just did was...
Guys, you were red hot today. Have a good weekend. Stay healthy.
Now that was dominant. And everybody chipped in. That was a sensational effort and job by the three of us.
That was a full team effort.
Yeah.
I mean, that was contributions throughout the lineup.
It was beautiful. Absolutely beautiful.
DCR is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg. Catch them weekday mornings at 9 on 98.7 ESPN.